I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we're back for episode 136 of Digital Divination.
136 reminds me about how I, Ron Lundeen, am an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
Well done.
Well done.
Which part of that number reminded you of that the most? The one,
because
the three, or the six?
The 1 + 3 + 6 makes a perfect 10.
All right, there you go, math.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Well, we have something to talk about this week that is new and exciting.
It is, and I got to tell you guys that it's just super exciting and super new, and I'm sure the two of you don't even know this yet, because I forgot to tell you until just now. Last weekend, we officially adopted Coco.
That's amazing!
That is super exciting!
Yes, it was.
Where's Coco?
She's out there on the couch sleeping right now.
Where Coco should be. Okay.
Where she should be. Yeah. She doesn't want to be in here too much for some reason, even though we have a lovely dog bed over here for her. We it's been, you know, a couple months and she hadn't not a lot of interest shown for her with her being adopted and, you know, with the shelter trying, you know, putting stuff out, obviously, but you can only do so much. And she's so comfortable with us and just our baby. So
that's amazing.
That is cool.
I love hearing about forever families getting made like that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, Ron is a big proponent of adoptions.
Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, love it.
Animals, kids, you name it, I'll adopt it. That's housemate. Right.
Oh, really? Are you adopting one of those?
No, I've adopted them into my household. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm really interested in adopting a new game system, Starfinder 2nd Edition.
All right, that good
brilliant segue.
All right, so at PaizaCon 2025, we had,
which is going on literally right now while we're recording.
It is. This is Sunday, so it's not over. It's not over. All the panels are over, though. I think.
Yeah.
All the panels are over, so we can talk about the panels. Yes.
And all the actual plays and everything.
The Starfinder stuff that we're going to talk about, new stuff, old stuff that was mentioned, the keynote, organized play talked about it, there are Starfinder adventures, and the last Starfinder thing was the Starfinder Star Path, which is the release schedule for 2025. So we got lots of ground to cover. Let's get started.
Wait, are they star path finding? Are they finding the star path?
No, I don't think they need to find it. They know it, and they told us about it. Right.
Fair enough.
They're path knowing.
Star knowing.
That doesn't work.
They know the path. They know the path.
That's right.
They know the way.
Yes. So, interesting stuff. So, started off with, of course, Eric Mona being super, super excited. at the beginning there, and his hair is getting wilder every year too, I noticed.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you work from home.
I don't know, Ron's hair is pretty no
I have to go into the office at least
that's
2 days
a week. That's why you're I got a haircut even though I haven't been in the office since November. Anyway, so Eric Mona did the keynote. He's the publisher and I never knew this. He said this thing, Chief Creative Officer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was hearing him referred to as the publisher, and I thought, well, you know what? Chief Creative Officer sounds way cooler.
But you can be both.
If you're in the industry, publisher does a lot.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm just saying
publishing related things, right?
Yeah.
It carries a little more gravitas.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, so any thoughts on the keynote before? I mean, I can talk on all this stuff, but I want to let our esteemed colleagues here have some input as well.
Well, I was, if I could deviate just a little bit from Starfinder for a little while, the keynote ran through a lot of Pathfinder releases I was very excited about as well. Very excited about hearing some of those and some of the upcoming things. Pulled back the curtains a little bit on some of the things that we'd seen. I'd heard, I think it was leaked about the Lost Omens, was it Draconic Codex, I think it's called, that just sort of all dragons. That was that was neat to see announced and see the stuff.
Eleanor
in there.
Eleanor was really excited about that, wasn't she?
Yeah. Eleanor was very excited. But it's a, I mean, that I think is going to be awesome. I'm really, that might be the Pathfinder book that I'm most looking forward to of all the stuff that they were talking about. I mean, except of course, Battle Cry, written by my friend Jason Keeley. That
Don't talk about. Don't worry about. The kind of codex is way more exciting in a lot of ways.
Oh well, now I'm.
It's good.
Really
the Battle Cry is great. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Oh, now I've insulted John who wrote for it. Well, John, just to, I mean, again, just to continue to debate, when we did our panel on the Hellfire Crisis, we did talk about the Steam Turtle. So
you did? Oh, I didn't even know the Steam Turtle made it in there. So, you know.
Of course, well, it's good. Did I tell you I don't know if I told this story on the air or just to one of you all and sort of behind the scenes. We got this sketch I was like, Steam Turtle, gotta have the art of that. And we got the sketch back for it. The artist had gotten a little bit confused and basically drew a Starfinder version. It was like this futuristic, you know, this sort of like modern looking like device.
Not a steampunk one. Modern. It was like a fusion one.
We talked back to it. Oh, they got a little mixed up between Starfinder and Pathfinder. And so we went back.
I hope you kept that other art, though. That sounds pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I'm sure they got the sketch somewhere.
That's great. I wonder if they happen to be like, John Godek, the Starfinder guy? Well, of course it's got to be a Starfinder thing. <Yeah. laughs>
I don't think the artist knows who writes the things that they're drawing. Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're, someone.
Friend of the artist or whatever.
Yeah. Friend of the artist. Yeah, who's doing the, exactly. Like my friend Chris Kimball, who did a lot of Pathfinder stuff. He's like, oh, I'm drawing this thing. I'm like, that's the thing I wrote. Anyway, but the Starfinder keynote was good. Getting in just sort of I'm trying to remember, trying to keep it all straight with where we hear the things specifically. We could just talk a little bit about like what we know and not necessarily talk about individual where we individually heard it.
Yeah, I think that's fine because a lot of stuff was reiterated throughout all the sessions. Yeah. My notes are just organized in how I watch them, so that's how
fair enough. To do it. The only thing about the Starfinder keynote that I remember is that when Jenny was talking about the Infinity Deck, she corrected her, and later in the panel, she said Bullman instead of yours truly.
I know. I made a big note.
That is also on my sticky note as well to point out. The Infinity Deck is...
Dustin said that.
Oh, Dustin
is actually the coolest in-game thing I've heard of in a long time. And even though, frankly, the Lost Omens Draconic Legacy is the thing I'm most excited about for Pathfinder, the most excited I am about a Paizo thing announced at all of PaizoCon is this Infinity Deck, because the in-world reason for the deck to exist as an out-of-world play aid is just genius, right? And it's that it's a deck that was played before the gap, but nobody remembers any of the rules for it,
right? I think that's really
and
cool.
And so people have had to rebuild not one, but up to four different games that you could play with this.
Possibly an infinity number of games.
But I think we have rules for,
There are rules for four games.
Yeah, no, so we have some art for this that I'll put up, and I put our Discord. So, Jason, could you tell us a little bit about the art that we have here?
Yeah, the art we have here is just going to show you some suits and some cards, some face cards. What's not really shown in this art is how the symbols, in the corners, and I think the numbers are going to be shiny foil.
Oh. Okay.
So it's going to look so good. We don't have here the back of the card, too, but those look pretty awesome, too. And it was a lot of fun to work on just sort of like figuring out what kind of art it would look like and to make it a little more interesting than just kind of like a number and a symbol like on a playing card. In the case of like the face cards that some of that you see there, you know, what do those look like? And So that was
it was a Sheeran,
fun to make this one.
One of those.
Yeah, it's the Sheeran Starship Captain.
Ah, and there's five suits. It looks like there's a galaxy, a star, a planet, a moon, and a starship.
Yeah, it kind of goes from and we try to work that if there's any reason you needed to know which suit beat another suit in the game, you could just go by size of astronomical object, right?
Oh,
moons beat starships, planets beat moons, stars beat planets, and galaxies beat stars, basically, right? So
got it.
Neat.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah, so that was one of the things that was announced in there.
I'm excited to see this thing in physical
form. Yeah. Now, one of the things that this is going to come out in physical form, it's not available yet in digital form, but it sounds like that from Jenny mentioned this in another panel, that they're looking at getting it for Foundry or for something else. One of the things that was mentioned is that all the books, all these things coming out, all the releases they talked about, all the adventures are all coming out with Foundry support right off the bat.
Yeah, it's so good.
Including Murder in Metal City. Now, I know I'm jumping ahead for the things in order because I'm going to the Starfinder panel, but I'm going to jump ahead anyway, John. Murder in Metal City. I was really interested to hear that this is a whole game in a box that has a whole bunch of components in it.
Yeah.
To help you have your game around the table, not a beginner box. They've been clear about that, I think, in their messaging from the beginning, and Jenny reiterated it here. But it is sort of an entire lengthy adventure where all of the components are in this box. And that's the reason I was initially really excited to get it. Still am, frankly. I think that I'd pulled back a little bit in my interest because I heard it was for first level only, that you wouldn't level at all during this thing.
Right.
But Jenny kind of sold me on it during the star map, the star path. I think it's a thing I'm going to pick up. And I got more excited hearing about how it was going to be all these components you need. They're going to be really tactile in it.
Right.
And then heard it was going to be Foundry. And then Thirsty came in to say, so if you're a streamer, right, this is a thing you can use. And I'm like, how interesting that this product that is sold as having a significantly higher than usual amount of tactile components to it is also intended for streaming or other online play and is going to be supported that way right out of the gate. That was really the fact that I would have thought one or the other of those to be true, and the fact that it's both of them, I thought really surprised me.
Well, it's also the only adventure, in addition to the Starfinder Society adventures, it's the only adventure that's coming out right at Gen Con release. So
That's true.
This is Guilt of the Grave World doesn't come out until October.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want to play something and stream it, it's either going to be Society Adventures, which two are going to drop in August, and then basically two every month after that, right? Or you got to do Murder in Metal City.
I mean, or your own. I don't know.
Or your own homebrew.
I don't have a good sense of like what percentage of streamers stream published adventures versus those that kind of do a homebrew thing. I know as far as actual play goes, a lot of the very biggest actual play on the D&D side are elaborate homebrew things, like the Critical Role. Some of the ones I've sort of picked up since, every one of them is maybe they use something published as a jumping off point, but only very initially or tangentially. So it's interesting to be able to let streamers know you can use this published adventure. We're going to make it very easy for you to do that. Go and do it. That's hitting, I think, a really interesting sort of piece of the market.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think like the Pathfinder actual plays kind of skew a little more towards stuff that's already published since Paizo's, main thrust is also publishing these really well-made adventures, right? Sort of continuing that along with on Starfinder is going to be great. I think we're going to continue to see the maybe even newer streamers popping up.
Yeah. And I will say, Ron, that you are actually keeping track with the keynote, because that's the first big thing they really started talking about.
Yes.
Because they started with Starfinder, and the first thing they really started hitting on was the murder in Middle City standalone adventure. Includes pre-gens for like all the core classes. Contains GM aids, tools to help new GMs or people start getting started with Starfinder Second Edition for the first time. Players just moving over. So a lot of really cool things. And did you catch kind of the kickoff, how they kick off this adventure
of Murder in Metal City?
Yeah.
No. I mean, sure I heard, but I'm not recalling. What? Enlighten me.
Yes. So apparently it begins with the players receiving a message from a tier 99 professor. I guess they call him Tyranny. Basically saying, if you're receiving this message, I've had an unexpected shutdown. That is, I'm dead. And then it kind of goes from there. So I thought that was kind of a really, Mike Kimmel talked more about that later on in the adventure section. Yeah, right, yeah. But I thought that was, I thought, well, that's really cool. And I was thinking a tier 99 professor seems pretty high too.
So. What tier are you professor wise, John?
I'm probably, you know, maybe 40s, you know, I'm not very far up the chain. So they talked quite a bit about that. Then they went into the first adventure path for Starfinder, and they called it this several times, Guilt of the Grave World.
Yeah, and I think they want to ensure that people realize that they are still doing adventure paths.
Right.
It's just that they, you know, might not have the same exact form as they did in the past in terms of, I mean, you know, we had Mechageddon being sort of one book as well, but like the you know, Guilt of the Grave World is going to be a book, but it's just not going to be like as massive as a Mechageddon.
Right. And that actually came up in a question later on, I think in the final panel talking, or somebody asked if they're going to be doing longer form adventures and what's going on. So Murder in Metal City is 64 pages, which is how long a standalone adventure is for Starfinder First Edition in one book of an AP. Mm-hmm. Guilt of the Grave World is 128 pages. So it's roughly equivalent to two AP books, not like a full three levels long.
It goes from one to five.
Okay.
Yeah, but normally, an AP book would go from one to three or something like that. Right.
I know. I'm joking because Murder in Metal City is 64 pages, but only spans one level. So twice as long would span two levels. But no, it sounds like it is more than that.
Well, did you hear what Jenny said about why they did that?
Well, I remember that she'd said that she really wanted you to kind of get to know your character and experience kind of all they had. I really appreciate that. I feel like there is kind of a rush to level in a lot of level-based games that people kind of, they don't sort of learn all the things their characters can and can't do at the level they're at before the next thing they know they're off to another level. And so something that slows that down, that I said earlier that it sort of lost my interest being only one level because I thought there just kind of wouldn't be very much to it. And I said, Jenny got my interest again. This is why, because she's like, it's going to be 64 pages and it's going to be so much stuff at that level. Great. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they, you know, when she said we didn't want to make it overly taxing to have to learn to level up in it to be able to just focus just kind of on playing Starfinder. So I think this makes a really great entry level tool for a new player. Because I think somebody would get really excited.
But not a beginner box. And I think that what they're trying to do that Jenny sort of tipped her hand a little bit was to say that you've been a player and you're interested in being a GM for the first time, or you're trying to step into GMing in kind of a virtual way. This is going to hold your hand to do it. You don't need to remember what are all the items I gave out, what are all the clues I gave out, who are all the NPCs. We're going to help you remember those. And my assumption is those are the GM aides that were mentioned in the keynote. Right. And that's right. just the kind of thing that new GMs really, it helps lower the intimidation factor of jumping in and becoming a GM for the first time. So it is an acquisition product, but not an acquisition product for new players. It's an acquisition product for new GMs. And that is critical right. when you're launching a new edition of a game. Mm-hmm. Very smart.
So I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, getting back to Guilt of the Grave World. So like I said, it's 128 pages, and it's written by Mike Bramnick. And there's a couple interesting things in here. They mentioned that they're going to have cinematic starship combat, and specifically, they mentioned that this is going to run like a complex hazard.
Right, yeah.
And then later on, they mentioned basically it's going to include kind of victory points type of process for concluding things. And they mentioned that, I mean, that's how cinematic combat's going to work. And they did say how in, I guess it must be in GM Core, they talk a little bit about that they're giving three examples of cinematic starship combat to show you how to do it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. There's going to be two, there's going to be a versatile heritage and an ancestry in this adventure. So a corpse folk virtual heritage. So regardless of what ancestry you can play an undead version of them. So
don't they have that in the playtest rules? Isn't the Bromai?
The Borai.
The Borai and a corpse folk are slightly different ways to kind of do that kind of thing. A Borai is that you died, but your body is still technically alive. And so you're kind of someone who is basically possessing your own body. Yeah, a ghost who's possessing their own body in a way. Okay. But corpse folk is like you're an undead. That's like playing like the skeleton ancestry, right? Like it's just like you probably have whatever the limited undead benefits are for ancestry. You don't get necessarily all the goodies for being undead, but most likely it's just by like, hey, yeah, you're just a dead dragon folk, a dead, you know, Cersesian, whatever.
Yeah. And they'll have an Librium ancestry as well. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Librians being just sort of the humans with big heads, kind of classic alien look.
Yeah. They mentioned a lot of talk about Zoe is going to be in here. Possibly a kind of an origin story for Zoe as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And they talked about this a couple times that these Librians are oftentimes hanging out in this place called the Halls of the Living. And it's actually a reality TV show. That's
The Halls of the Living have always been basically a giant studio.
Yeah,
the living fight for the pleasure of the undead.
So I thought that was interesting. And again, just going kind of through the keynote stuff, they talked a lot about the Infinity Deck, which we mentioned already. Mm-hmm. They talked about the Starfinder 2 novel, Era of the Eclipse. Mm-hmm. And this talks about people who are on the ground. Like right after the gap happened, basically.
The rise of the Hell Knight Order of the Eclipse.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So kind of that lived experience there. Then a whole bunch of other Pathfinder stuff, which we've talked a little bit about. And that was kind of, I'm going to leave that at that. Okay. So next they went to organized play, which we've talked a little bit about. Here on the last couple episodes, just a couple things there that were new. They're going to have be releasing two scenarios a month, which is where they were at kind of later in first season and through a bunch of the seasons until they slowed down. So they're going to have 26 scenarios a year is what their plan is, but the scenarios are basically half length compared to what they were before. So they're going to be a two-level range, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, so on and so forth. They'll run about 2 to 3 hours each. the first year is going to have a whole lot of low-level adventures.
Yeah.
All of them will be self-contained, though some might tie to a greater arch. So.
I mean, I've kind of wondered if the scenario, you know, just sort of people sort of talking about how they play a society scenario for like 6 hours as someone who is aging rapidly before your very eyes. That sounds like a long time to be playing a single session of a game.
That was one of my big complaints when they asked for feedback. I said, I actually put specifically, I want them 2 to 3 hours. So I'm glad they listened to me.
Well, you got that. Yeah.
You got it, John. You did it.
Well, because I'll tell you that if you have somebody who's very experienced, the old scenarios, you could get them done in 3 to 4 hours. You could GM it and do a good job.
Yeah.
But if you were less experienced, they typically went 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
You need something where somebody new can come in and have room to grow and improve. And I think 2 to 3 hours just makes it a whole lot easier for them. So I thought that was pretty useful. They also said, go ahead.
This is something that was mentioned in the adventure panel later, but like specifically about scenarios, the society, is that they're going to have a player's guide. Now, I know that society has always sort of put out PDFs that sort of been like an introduction of this is how you do stuff. And whatnot. Has it been called a player's guide before, or is it just
this it was called a guide to organized play.
Okay.
And they had one for Pathfinder Society and they had one for Starfinder Society. Originally it was a PDF, and then basically now it's a website that you go to.
Right. Okay, right? Yeah,
to get things. I don't know if the player's guide is going to be a PDF or a website.
I kind of assume it'll be a PDF because they had
mentioned. That's what I was thinking too.
Jessica had mentioned that the Player's Guide also contains 2 new ancestries.
Yes, yes.
Right.
You were skipping through all the good stuff, but we can go right to that.
Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
No, no. I think it's great. Go ahead.
Because, again, this is the sort of things that were sort of mentioned a couple of times. This is one thing that I remembered about society stuff is that, you know, they're putting out the Akeshti and Shobad ancestries.
Yes.
In the sort of player's guide, because I think the first couple, or at least one of the first couple scenarios takes place on Akaton.
Several do. Yeah.
It's a big deal. Akaton's kind of the big deal.
Yeah. And that's right, because there's a spaceship crashes on it.
Yep.
Yeah, special that kicks it off that, you know,
on
Akaton. Like,
but I was very excited. Yeah. I was very pleased to hear that you can still shoot blood out of your eyes.
That they've changed the Akeshti a little bit. The Hulk version of the Akeshti is a little bit different. So
the riveting process was always a little weird.
Yeah. Right.
Culturally, it's just strange. Just sort of like a little ick, but.
Yeah, I'm glad that they revisited that. Yeah.
Two other things.
Mainly because all the Akeshtis went to therapy, basically.
Yes.
Sort of helped them control their hulking out.
Yes. Yep. So they did mention that we're going to go back to Salvation's End, which I don't know if either of you know what that means.
I do. It's a weird moon with weird nonsense in it.
Yeah,
and organized play goes there, has gone there multiple times.
Yeah. Yes, and so we're going back, so we're really excited about that. And then this was kind of a really cool thing. I put 2 stars by it. If you play or GM a Starfinder 2 second edition scenario before September 5th, you get to play 1 Skittermander in Pathfinder second edition.
Second edition.
Yes. You can earn a boon to play a Skittermander in Pathfinder, basically. So Skittermanders aren't Pathfinder critters.
Right.
Until now.
Yeah, just, well, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, I'm sure the Pathfinder people will have a thing or two to say about whether or not they actually are on the planet.
Okay. Also, just to kind of complete out org play stuff, Strix are now going to be a free ancestry in Pathfinder 2nd Edition as of this weekend. Cool. And there's going to be a Venture Gossip archetype.
A Venture okay. What? Venture Gossip? Gossip.
Venture Gossip.
Yeah, there's been these blogs, that's what they're called, right? They're about the Venture Captain sort of gossiping about things that are going on and sort of in-world rumors flying about most likely sort of like giving you hints about the scenarios and stuff like that. So I can imagine Venture Gossip might be fun. It might, I don't know how quickly, you know, I'm going to turn this ship around and talk a little bit about something that we mentioned in our panel about the field propagandist archetype that it's in Battle Cry. Oh, that basically okay. is like, it's as close to the I heard a rumor powers you can from Umbrella from Academy.
Umbrella Academy, kind of, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just basically like, well, I heard a rumor you guys are vulnerable to silver and then you can, you know, sort of do stuff like that. Propaganda or like, oh, my guys are so tough and then they get tougher, you know, kind of stuff.
Nice.
That's neat.
That, I like yeah, that actually. Fine. All right. The adventure panel.
The adventure panel. I mean, you know, we talked, they talked about Murder Metal City and a little bit of, you know, about, I think they just mentioned Guilds of the Grave World and then the society stuff that I had just mentioned.
Right. And they mentioned and the something Infinity else. Deck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of possibly using it as a tool to in upcoming
in game,
scenarios
yeah.
and showing it up, which is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. This is a touch related to that. Did either of you happen to catch the actual play that came up that later Friday night that Jenny was running? That sort of was a sort of a preview of Murder Metal City, like the casino area.
No,
I didn't want to spoil it.
Fair enough. Oh. That's fair. I didn't catch either, but I was just sort of noticing that it's got had some sort of like we had some good guests, really some sort of actual play guests from the actual play, you know, sort of sphere world that was so that's and it was run by Jenny, so kudos.
Wow.
That sounded like that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. I bet. Well, hopefully
some people like B. Dave Walters and another name I can't quite remember now. I was trying to look it up earlier, and I can't find it.
All right. Well, I want to mention one other thing for adventures. They talked about the free RPG day release in June. Yeah. Battle for Nova Rush, which introduces a new iconic starship for Starfinder Society.
Neat.
So that was kind of cool. They talk more about the other things we did. They mentioned there's no ancestries in the Alien Corps. That's what Mike Kimmel said.
Oh, that's right. There was a question from chat, I think.
Yep.
There's plenty of other ancestries in and all the other products. So I think
even in the organized play documentation, for goodness sakes, they don't need him in the Alien Corps.
Don't need him in Alien.
That's I think that's smart because what that does is it relegates the Alien Corps to be specifically a Game Master book. There's no reason for players to be looking into it and then learning what all the secrets of all the monsters are.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then the last couple bits they mentioned, Anasites do not have souls, but SROs do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what sets them apart.
Sounds like SRO propaganda to me.
All right, and then kind of the last panel that we'll talk about real quick was the Starfinder star map. And again, I put that in our Discord, and I'll show that up here so people can see. Obviously, we're in May, so we've already had the Galaxy Guide release. August, we get a whole bunch of stuff. Infinity Deck, Starfinder Player Core, Murder in Metal City.
I gotta make sure I got room in my bag at Gen Con for all this stuff. And then hit the booth early for as much of the these things as I can get.
GM Core comes in September. So a little bit later. October is Guilt of the Grave World. November is Alien Core.
Alien Core.
And then they said at Gen Con they will announce stuff after this. I'm guessing that some of the 2026 releases.
Yeah, first quarter 2026 probably would be my guess.
Yep. They did show some screenshots showing and talked about how PlayerCore has all the weapons and equipment and stuff.
I thought it was really interesting what Thirsty went into kind of a deep dive about the playtest process and how that really caused them to kind of iterate on the, tons of Excel spreadsheets for weapon tables and things like that, and how that can be, how might that be revised after the playtest feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that playtest feedback comes in the form of many, many Excel spreadsheets. And so if some Excel spreadsheets convince you that maybe you need fewer Excel spreadsheets, then I can say the process, I think, is working as intended.
Yeah. And in fact, he did mention kind of that they got a lot of playtest feedback. And he said some of the things that changed. For example, there's a new traversal trait that allows you to basically, if it says, if you have a feat or something that says take a stride and do something, you can instead substitute swim, fly, burrow, or whatever in that. So you can those things.
And from a design perspective, that struck me as really interesting. And I can see why. But if you're rewriting all the rules as they are in the player core for Starfinder 2nd Edition, couldn't you just say under the stride or step rule, if you have a burrow, fly, et cetera, whatever speed, you can use that in addition instead. But they can't because the rule is not the same as Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Yes. Well, also because there's a separate action for flying. There's a separate action for burrowing. There's a separate action for swimming. Right. So it's not, you can't just attach that to stride. Stride is specifically for using your feeties to walk on land. I like the idea of this traversal trait too, because because it saves about a line and a half of text for and all of those feats like sudden charge that have it in there. Otherwise, does add a little bit of you've got to look that up and know what that trait means. But that's what the trait system kind of is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. They bumped up damage across the board for all weapons.
Heard that, yeah.
Updated lots of spells from the playtest, kind of cleaning them up, updating them up. They nerfed the operative.
Keep nerfing that operative.
Yeah.
Even the playtest errata was nerfing the operative a little bit. So that process was started really early. We got to see some of that in action.
And he mentioned specifically, like, Hair Trigger is now like a 6th level ability.
Yeah. that was a little.
He really buffed up the Solarian, the Solar Mote, Solar Flare abilities, and Nimbus Surge. So it sounds
Solarian gets Reactive Strike now, I heard.
Yep. It built it into your solar weapon thing is what it sounds like. Solar.
Okay.
So I don't know if they just gave him Reactive Strike or built it into certain types of Solarians. Yeah. Let's see. You talk more about adventures, digital version, Starship. Oh, this gets back to the first image that I showed, which I know is Jason's favorite.
Oh, the Solstrid.
Yeah, the Solstrid. The Bantrid.
Is this from...
With cybernetic arms.
Is this from, GM Core, maybe?
He talked about it in talking about, designing ancestries or something like this.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I felt like I was on the outs there. I'm like, it's a Swole Bantrid, like everybody's been talking about. I'm like, I've literally never heard about this until now, and it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, no, he was talking about all the stuff that GM Core was bringing, hacking, core deities, more world information. And then he just pulls up, creatures, and talk about the planes. Oh, and here's this cool Swole Bantrid. So,
if you're gonna tease me with Bantrid with cybernetic arms, when am I gonna get my Bantrid ancestry back in? You know, and also if it hasn't been written yet. I mean, I could write it, everybody. I
could get the Bantrid. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I know you're listening out there, Star Friends.
So, they talked about a little bit more about how cinematic Starship is going to work. It's explained in the GM Core, and they have three examples of it, and talked about scanning a dying sun and asteroid ambush, victory mm-hmm. conditions, escape Ooh. Points. How everybody's going to have a role, you know, in your party, yeah. so nobody feels left out.
So well, one of the things I really liked about that is, in these cases, in these Starship scenes, not necessarily Starship combat, what right. does success look like is built from the beginning, right? Because it's not always you just blow up the other guy,
yeah.
right? It could yeah. be something else that you're working toward. Maybe you're trying to get away. Maybe you're trying to meet some sort of goal. And I feel like that adds a lot of options and flexibility and use for the Starship scenes. And I'm really excited to see that.
Mm-hmm. Later on, he was talking about high level creatures and alien core. He mentioned about the Colossi for Demalco are going to be like a complex hazard, basically. So it sounds similar to how they done it for Star. They don't have mech rules yet, you know, for mechs to fight Colossi. Right. So that's how yeah. players were gonna do that. Mm-hmm. They talked about how Guilt of the Grave World is gonna end with a massive change to the status quo, and how they're wanting to make big flashy things, big flashy changes to kind of the living. It's not really a world, living galaxy of
galaxy.
You know, Starfinder Second Edition. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, trying to keep the lore from before, but pushing it forward into the future. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. what's happened since then and what's happening now and kind of changing that up. So
you always got to be keeping that moving forward. So it feels like a real place.
He mentioned two of the creatures that he wrote that the one that's on the cover of the Galaxy Guide, the Illuminant.
Yeah. The fractal looking thing.
Yeah, the Illuminantula. It's like a Illuminati tarantula thing. 25th level. He said before how that was the highest level thing. And he mentioned how this was something left over from the first ones that came. That's kind of the overarching story of for Starfinder Society coming out. He also said he did another first ones creature at 20th level. Then he did a bunch of demons or daemons, I guess. And I didn't quite get the names. So basically, one of them, it's like when you are like doing copy and pasting and messing things up on the, when you're, it's like a typo daemon is what it sounded like to me.
Okay.
I thought that was, and then, a civis daemon. So kind of, is in online spaces. You know, social media, kind of.
The Doomscroll daemon.
Yes, Doomscroll, kind of mm-hmm. like that. And the big thing that I thought was really cool about it is these are things that could only really exist in a high-tech area. That's mm-hmm. why these were new, you know, to the world. So I thought those were kind of neat. He mentioned a whole bunch of other critters that were in the Alien Core, but pretty much carried over a lot of favorites from first edition. They did mention there's new dragon types that are going to be there. Talked about how you could just take these things and drop them into a Pathfinder second edition adventure to make it a little more confusing.
More awesome. Have Obazai and Amiri fight shoulder to shoulder.
Yes. There's going to be blog fiction coming in June.
Well, that's kind of good. Meet
the Iconics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are good, yeah.
Yeah, always fun.
Yeah. And these were in response to some questions that people were asking. You know, a lot of people were concerned that there's no big adventure paths coming out. And what Thirsty said is because they have to do so much at the launch, they didn't, you know, the whole team, and it's a small team, were working on that. They didn't have time to do a whole bunch of big adventures with the launch.
Like Dead Sons was, yeah.
Right. So they alluded to that coming, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and Dead Sons wasn't 100% all the way out. With the, it was the, just the first volume, right? Like there was still, there was time to sort of like spool up the entirety of the thing. You could just do the first one, like a little bit like you couldn't do necessarily do a Murder in Metal City and the first volume of an AP. Like, cause Murder in Metal City kind of feels, you know, like you said, it's got the length of a volume of an AP. So that's their sort of first dip into it, I think. Right. And the team was, you know, just they're human beings, people. Let them, you know, have lives outside of the job.
Right. Yes.
Please don't, they're, don't murder, don't kill them any more than they're killing themselves. To put this stuff out. Cause it's a lot of great stuff.
But I will say that it sounds like there will be some big announcements at Gen Con as well, which I imagine will be hardcovers and adventure paths.
We'll see.
So, anyway, so that's kind of my, you know, 20 pages of notes.
Very nice.
You guys see anything fun? No.
Well, let me get my notes out.
Your 20 pages?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll post up some of this art that they had as well. So.
I interjected the stuff that I did. Infinity Deck, super, super exciting. Murder on Metal City, I was sold on, then unsold on, and now resold on. So.
I know, me too. I'm thinking, well, especially since it's the only adventure that's going to be out right away, I thought we could wait and do something else for our actual play, but I think now it's going to have to be Murder on Metal City because we got to start in August because our old one's going to run out, and we need new content for that, you know?
August, September, October. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think there's a lot of cool stuff coming, and I can't wait. I can't wait for Gen Con to see it all in person and then see what's coming next.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.